Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ridiculous, right?
It gets worse. Studies show more than 75% of new high school officials are quitting because of bad adult behavior.
So now there's a shortage of refs here in Tennessee, in almost all sports.
No officials means no more games.
Is that what you want for us?
Come on, parents.
It's time to grow up.
Cheer for your team.
Be proud of your children.
But stop being so ridiculous.
And don't make us run another commercial.
Because we will.
This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association, reminding you to always practice good sportsmanship.
Hello, heavy lifters, deal seekers, business owners, and one-man crews. Welcome to your local Cat dealer, Thompson Machinery. Your home for Cat compact equipment and offers like 0% for 60 months and no payments for 90 days. Whether you're buying, renting, or looking for preventative maintenance, at Thompson Machinery, it all starts with hello. Visit tmcat.com/bigtimesupport and be sure to ask about 0% for 60 months plus 90 days, no payments and no interest. Terms and conditions apply.
Small businesses are grappling with the impact of these uncertain times and looking for resources. That's why Dell Technologies assembled an all-star lineup of podcasters to create the first ever virtual conference to share advice and inspiration for small businesses. Dell Technologies is here, from keeping you connected while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams to providing relevant content for businesses. Search Dell Technologies Small Business Podference on radio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
My name is Gary Parrish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best as you can.
Her daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you're ready to get
a little work, love my friend.
Some specifics on exactly how the NBA is going to resume and complete it's 2019-20 season, because all indications are that we're going to find out by the end of this week exactly what the plan is. At this point, the only thing that seems certain is that it's going to happen at Walt Disney World in Florida. After that, there's several options on the table. Options related to how are we actually going to do it? How many teams? What is the format? There's some good ideas. There's some bad ideas. And then there's one, I think, terrific idea that I hope the NBA goes with, and it is reportedly under real consideration. I'll walk you through it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Ramona Shelburne is a longtime NBA insider for ESPN. She did a lot of the heavy lifting reporting over the weekend on what's going to happen next with the NBA. She's going to join me in the next segment. Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning beat Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in golf this weekend. It was a fun television event. We'll get into it around 4:44. On Sunday night, I don't know that it got, in fact, I know it didn't get as much buzz as the Last Dance documentary, but part one of Lance on Lance Armstrong aired on ESPN, and I thought it was terrific. I was worried that I'd be like, all right, I'm going to watch this because it's a probably good documentary about a larger-than-life American athlete who is now widely considered a bum. Like, outside of O.J. Simpson, you know, because Lance Armstrong didn't technically kill anybody. Outside of O.J. Simpson, I don't know that another American athlete has gone from the highest of highs to where he's at as drastically as Lance Armstrong. So I was worried that I just wouldn't be that interested in it. I thought it was great and really, really well done. I'm looking forward to part two. We'll talk a little bit about that later on this hour. I watched a Bundesliga match today.
Oh, you did? Yeah, it was two of the good teams, right?
Yeah, Bayern Munich.
Munich and
Dortmund.
Dortmund.
Yeah, so yep. I watched, I had it on. And the reason I wanted to watch it, not because I was terribly interested in, like, who would win the match, but they were piping in crowd noise. It's the thing we talked about. Joe Buck mentioned Fox Sports is planning to do with the NFL. I wanted to see what it looked like, what it sounded like. I'll tell you, it's not nearly as weird as some people suggested it would be. In fact, it felt pretty normal. It made it seem like a more normal soccer experience, sports experience. We'll talk about that just before 5 o'clock. And this afternoon, Major League Baseball owners have reportedly made a proposal to the Players Association. They backed off the 50-50 revenue split that the players didn't want, but they are asking for more pay cuts. The players are reportedly not happy with the proposal. I'll give you the details on it during Four Notable Stories 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calk is just like always, that I will eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We've got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the NBA. A lot of reporting since we were last here. And we were last here last Thursday, by the way. It seems like forever ago. I tell you, I was really looking forward to the four-day break. I needed to get back to work. I'm not very good when I don't have structure in my life. Like when I don't have a place to be for 4 days, which is very rare. When I don't have a place to be for 4 days, I just start to develop bad habits. I was anxious to get back to work and just sort of feel normal again. So it's nice to be back in studio. It's nice to see Bennett's beautiful face.
Thank you.
And over the weekend, since last Thursday, we got a lot of reporting on the NBA. What's interesting about that league is that they're not fighting over the same things Major League Baseball owners and players are fighting over. Like, the owners and players in baseball are fighting over money. And we really might not get a baseball season in the year 2020 because of money. They'll spin it into other things, health concerns, all that. But if it doesn't happen, if the Yankees and Red Sox aren't playing in the year 2020, it'll be because of money. In the NBA, they're not fighting over money. They might fight over money eventually, next year, next CBA, but right now, they're not fighting over money. They're just discussing how to resume the 2019-20 season. And the biggest thing you need to know is that everybody seems committed to doing that in some form. Like, it's going to happen. Will it go well? We'll see. Will it be without controversy? Probably not. But the NBA season is going to resume. Michelle Roberts, the NBA Players Association executive director, told Ramona Shelburne earlier today that her players are ready to go. Everybody's committed to going forward and making this work. So then the question becomes not if it's going to happen, but how it's going to happen. And like I mentioned at the top, the only certainty at this point seems to be that they're going to do it at Walt Disney World. Now, there's been reports all over the place for the past couple of months. At first, it was Las Vegas. Then it was Disney World. Then it was maybe, the Bucks owners suggested last week, going to be Las Vegas and Disney World. Well, the reporting seems to be now is that they've settled on Disney World. So now the question is, how many teams you taking? Are you going to complete the regular season, just part of the regular season, any of the regular season, or are you just going straight to the playoffs? And if you go straight to the playoffs, what does that look like? And I did a Facebook watch video for CBS Sports earlier today, and I just sort of went through some of the different options. And I'm pretty open-minded about this, but there are maybe three of them that I think are just bad ideas that they should not go down the line with. They're either just bad or they're unfair. And so those three, and we've talked about them some over the past few weeks, one of them is creating a play-in tournament for the eighth spot. The idea being And let's be honest, you're giving Zion Williamson a chance to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said over and over again, we have played, you know, anywhere from 64 to 67 games, you know, in most cases, like right in that range, mid-60s. We have standings. And the Magic are eighth in the East with a 5.5-game cushion. They're 5.5 games ahead of everybody below them. The Grizzlies are eighth in the West. They're 3.5 games better in the standings than everybody below them. It is ridiculous to suggest that the Magic or the Grizzlies, and for our purposes, the Grizzlies are more the focus, but either way, I'll be consistent with the point. It is ridiculous to suggest the Magic should have to fight for the eighth spot they currently own, or the Grizzlies should have to fight for the eighth spot they currently own, if the third-place Celtics in the East don't have to fight for their spot, or the sixth-place Rockets in the West don't have to fight for their spot. Like, there is less of a cushion for the Rockets between 6 and 7 than there is for the Grizzlies between 8 or 9. It makes no sense to make the Magic and the Grizzlies earn their spots if you're not going to make everybody else earn their spots. All that is a gimmicky deal to create more games featuring Zion Williamson and give Zion Williamson an opportunity to get into Walt Disney World. Now, I'm not against Zion Williamson being at Walt Disney World, and the plan that I'll endorse actually involves him being there. But doing it that way, making the Grizzlies earn their spot and the Magic earn their spot when the other 14 teams currently in the playoffs don't have to earn their spot, that's not right. That's not fair. You can't do that. Also, what you can't do is take all 30 teams to Orlando. That's seemingly still on the table, but an unlikely scenario. Still, it is under consideration. And in the simplest of terms, it's just unnecessary. It's A, unnecessary for basketball reasons, and B, an unnecessary risk. The more people and players you have in Orlando in this pseudo bubble, the more likely it is that an outbreak happens. You should be trying to minimize that. And if that is the goal on some level, why are you bringing the going nowhere Cavs and the going nowhere Warriors down to Orlando to play meaningless basketball games? Particularly when I bet privately they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. You think Kevin Love wants to go do a training camp, quarantine to play 6 meaningless games? Steph Curry? Damian Lillard has already said today that unless he's got a path to the playoffs, he's not playing. Like, if you want to bring all 30 teams to Orlando, but then say we're only going to play 70 games each, that means we can't catch the Grizzlies in the 8th unless we win all our games and they lose all theirs, which probably not going to happen. Well, then I'm just not playing. If there's not a path to the playoffs, I'm not playing. I'm not playing meaningless games. Damian Lillard is bold enough to say it. I promise you he's not the only veteran star on a right now team outside of the playoff picture who believes that. So, and another point, and Kevin O'Connor made this point at The Ringer, and I'll get to his column momentarily, is that for the NBA right now, the last thing you want to do is put a bad product on television. Like, why not just have – you're going to have so many television eyeballs on you. Like, why do you want a bad
– crappy teams.
Why do you want 2 crappy teams on TV?
No question.
Like, why not put nothing but good teams on TV? So for a variety of reasons, including the health risk, you don't take all 30 teams to Orlando. And the last proposal, and I'm only bringing up the ones that seem to be under consideration, the last one that I would just reject on a surface level is this whole reseeding 1 to 16. Why? Why do you do that? The argument for doing it in years past or future years has always been so you would get the best 16 records into the playoffs regardless of conference. And then you could seed them that way regardless of conference. In other words, you wouldn't want a team 6 games below 500 in the East in the playoffs over a team that's 2 games over 500 in the West simply because it's in the East and not in the West. Like, let's get the 16 mm-hmm. best records in the playoffs. And I'm not, on a certain level, in a different situation against that. But to do that now, I think is incredibly unfair to the Milwaukee Bucks because it's not necessary. Guess who has the 16 best records in the NBA right now? The 8 in the East and the 8 in the West. It breaks down 8-8. So you wouldn't be getting any different teams. That's always been one of the main arguments for it. You get the 16 best records. Well, you got the 16 best records
yep.
going East and West. And then if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you absolutely not. Hold up. Why? There's no reason to do what we're doing, all right? You can't. Now, the plan I'm going to submit will also be not good for the Bucks, but at least there's a reason to do it. There's no reason to just reseed 1-16. If you're the Bucks, you spend all season thinking the only thing between us and our first finals appearance since 1974 are the Raptors or the Celtics or the Sixers. Like, yep. We're better than those teams. We're going to the finals for the first time since 1974. Now all of a sudden you reseed, you got to go through the Clippers, probably, to get to the finals. Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, that's a different deal. Like, go look at odds to win 2020 NBA championship. There's no Eastern Conference team other than the Bucks better than the Lakers or Clippers. So the Bucks would be making their path harder for no reason whatsoever. Reseeding 1-16, if you want to do it 3 years from now, 30 years from now, next year, fine with me. But I don't think you change those rules in the middle when it's A, unnecessary, and B, a detriment to the team with the best record in the NBA. So those are the three proposals I just reject. No to all of them. We're not taking all 30 teams. We're not having a play-in tournament for eight. And we're not reseeding 1-16. There's two plans that I think are totally sensible. One easier than the other, but the other clearly better than the easier one. The easiest, least controversial one is the obvious one. Regular season is over. What's done is done. We have clear cushions between 8 and 9 in both the East and Western Conference. We're taking the top 8 from the East. We're taking the top 8 from the West. We're going to Orlando. We're quarantining for 2 weeks. We're doing training camp for a few weeks. We're going to play 2 or 3 exhibition games. And then we're going to play the playoffs as we normally would. Bucks, Magic, first round. Lakers, Grizzlies, first round. Best of 7. Way we did it last year. That is the easiest, the least controversial plan on the table. And I'm fine with that. If that's what they decide to do, I'm fine with that. The three plans I mentioned earlier, I'm not fine with those. That one, I'm fine with. But is it the most interesting plan? Is it the best plan? I don't think so. Because the best plan I've seen is one Kevin O'Connor wrote about earlier today at The Ringer. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a breakdown of having a group stage in the NBA playoffs. And it accomplishes everything the NBA says it wants to do. Create better games. They don't necessarily say this, but it's understood. Get Zion there. Create more games than just going straight to the playoffs would create. It really checks a lot of boxes. Now, if you're a soccer fan, particularly a World Cup fan, you're probably familiar with what a group stage looks like. But if you're not, I'll try to explain it in the simplest of terms. The proposal, which, again, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, is under consideration. This is one of the things the NBA is actually looking at. This isn't just like, hey, let's come up with some wild idea. It's something that the NBA is looking at. It's under real consideration. What it would do, and again, all credit goes to Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer, is you take the 20 best records in the NBA right now. So it would be the 8 in the East, the 8 in the West, plus the Blazers, Pelicans, Spurs, and Kings. That gets you to 20. So it doesn't make the Grizzlies fight for something they've already earned or the Magic fight for something they've already earned. It merely expands the playoffs by 4 teams. So we get Damian Lillard and the Blazers in this thing. We get Zion Williamson and the Pelicans in this thing. That is good for star power. It's good for television ratings. It's good for the NBA. So you take these 20 teams, and what you do, now follow me here. This might be a little difficult on radio, but just try to picture it. You take these 20 teams, and you break them into 5 tiers based on their current record. You basically go top 4 records, that's tier 1, next 4 records, that's tier 2, next 4, that's tier 3, so on and so forth. So right now, tier 1 would be the Bucks, because they have the best record in the NBA. The Lakers, because they have the second best record in the NBA. The Raptors, because they have the third best record in the NBA. And the Clippers, because they have the 4th best record in the NBA. Tier 2 would be the Jazz, Heat, Celtics, Nuggets. Tier 3 would be the Sixers, Rockets, Thunder, Pacers. Tier 4 would be the Grizzlies, Magic, Mavericks, Nets. Tier 5 would be the Blazers, Pelicans, Spurs, Kings. So you got 20 teams broken into 5 tiers. And basically what you would have is a Bucks group, a Lakers group, Raptors group, Clippers group. You're going to break these 5 tiers into 4 groups. Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers. And then you have a random draw to fill out the groups. Or, more interesting, you let the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers draft to fill out the groups. So let's say they go that way because it would create an incredible television product.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
Which we need right now.
Yes. Put that on TV tomorrow.
So let's say you have that. And basically, you got the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers. And they're drafting tiers. They're drafting for their groups. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, Bucks, you're up first. You can draft anybody from tier two to be in your group. Do you want the Jazz, Heat, Celtics, Nuggets? And they say, you know what? We'll take, you know, the Jazz just lost their second leading scorer to wrist surgery. We'll take the Jazz. Cool. The Jazz are with you. Lakers, you're up. Who you want? LeBron says, you know what? Let's make this interesting. We'll take the Heat. Put the Heat in our group. Raptors are up. They say, you know what? We'll take the Nuggets. Clippers come up. They say, I guess we're stuck with the Celtics. And you keep drafting until you fill it out. Now, what Kevin O'Connor did at the Ringer is did a random drawing, which is another way to do it. But it created the four groups, and the four groups were pretty even. Group one is Bucks, Jazz, Sixers, Grizzlies, Blazers. Again, you take one team from each tier. Group two was Lakers, Heat, Rockets, Magic, Pelicans. Group three was Raptors, Celtics, Thunder, Mavericks, Spurs. Group four, Clippers, Nuggets, Pacers, Nets, Kings. And then what you do is you have a round robin inside those groups. Everybody plays everybody else inside the group twice. Total of 8 games inside each group with a total of 80 games in the group stage. So the way the playoffs are currently constructed, we would get Bucks Magic 7-game series. Who cares? You want to watch that?
No.
First round playoff series in the NBA, television ratings were down last year, and they are largely boring. So instead of 4 games of Bucks Magic or 5 or 6 or whatever it is, you'd get Bucks Jazz one night, Bucks Sixers the next, Bucks Grizzlies the next, Bucks Blazers the next. So these bad matchups, like, I don't know, Bucks, like Clippers Kings, you'd only get that 2 times. You'd also get Clippers Nuggets twice, Clippers Pacers twice, Clippers Nets twice. Everybody plays 8 games, and then the best 2 records from each group advance to an 8-team bracket that will then be completed with 7-game series. So after the group stage, we get back to normal, 7-game series. And the top 2 from each group advance to be a part of that 8-team bracket. And if you needed a tiebreaker to figure something out, something as simple as regular season winning percentage could serve as the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So what you have is, instead of somewhere between, I don't know, 45 and 55 first-round playoff games, many of which suck, you've got 80 interesting, more meaningful, exciting games that essentially replaces the first round of the playoffs. If you're a basketball fan, why would you not want that?
Yeah, I'm in.
The only, and let's be fair, the only, if you're a Bucks fan, you wouldn't want that. Because like I said, right now, all you got to do is go through the East. You go to a group stage, you might have to go through, I mean, it could be the Jazz. It could be the Nuggets. You could add more difficult teams in your path. Not to mention, again, Bucks trying to get to the first finals since 1974. Right now, all you got to do is go through the East to do that. With a group stage, you could end up having to go through the Lakers to do that or the Clippers to do that. So for the Bucks, if I'm the Bucks and I get a vote, I vote against this. But Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, his goal right now should not be to do what's best for any one franchise, as unpopular as that might seem in Milwaukee. His job should be to do what's best for the NBA, to create the most, in this unprecedented time, create the most exciting postseason basketball thing you can create. And there is no way to intelligently argue that group stage situation. And by the way the plan has been proposed, you play the games from noon to midnight every day.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning basically playoff games, but not playoff series, but playoff games, postseason games, all day, every day. I mean, it'd be awesome.
It would be.
There's no way to intelligently argue that's not better than a traditional first round of the playoffs. I mean, we're excited for Grizzlies Lakers. Do you think most people are? It probably would be a Lakers sweep, maybe Lakers in 5. Most first-round series are boring and predictable. This would be awesome. You would get real high-level games, not the monotony of watching the same 2 teams play 4 times in a row when one of them is clearly outclassed from the jump. And then second round, you get right back to where you normally are. Seven-game series to let somebody hold a trophy at the end. If you want to understand more about it or get better visuals with it, go to theringer.com and read Kevin O'Connor's column that posted earlier today. It's really good, and it's a plan that the NBA is seriously considering. Will they do it? I don't know. Should they do it? Absolutely. Ramona Shelburne's up next.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
At Advance Auto Parts, we want to make sure your vehicle is ready to roll when you are. We have the right oil and filters at the right price every day from brands like Pennzoil, Mobil 1, Valvoline, and Castrol. And if you make a qualifying Pennzoil purchase this month, you'll get Gum Out Regain Fuel Injector Cleaner for free. Also, visit AdvanceAutoParts.com and tell us about a hero in your community. You could each win $1,000. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open again and treating patients right now. And yes, they're taking precautions and following the guidelines recommended by the American Dental Association, the CDC, and the Tennessee Board of Dentistry. They have proper PPE for the team members. They are pre-screening patients the day before their appointments by phone and again in their cars before each appointment. They'll have somebody check your temperature before you enter the clinical area. Sanitizers are all over the place. They have a cleaning crew every afternoon to clean, spray, and wipe the entire office, and they are limiting the number of people in waiting rooms and clinical areas. So if you need to make an appointment, you can. So you should. The number is 901-309-1333. That's 309-1333. The Smile Center. It's open Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can check them on the web at SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected five times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Major League Baseball's owners reportedly made another proposal to the Players Association today. It reportedly did not go over well. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now she is a longtime NBA insider for ESPN. It's Ramona Shelburne. Please make her the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Ramona, first things first, how are you and that beautiful baby boy and the family in general holding up during this quarantine?
Oh, we're doing good, man. I'm so much better now that he's napping again. You know how that is. They go through those little sleep regressions and you're like, oh, my gosh, what did we do? He wakes up after 30 minutes, and you're like, no. But I think he's back in the groove again.
Excellent.
So we're good.
Yeah, congratulations, because I do know there's nothing more valuable to parents during a pandemic than a nap from a baby boy or girl. Like, it's precious time. Precious time.
I mean, all I really need is an hour.
Right.
If you right? But if, but he's been, you know, yesterday was like 2 hours again, so we're in a much better place.
That's good to hear. I'm talking to Ramona Shelton from ESPN. So you did a lot of the reporting this weekend. It seems obvious, I think, that the NBA at least plans to figure out exactly what they're going to do by the weekend. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, look, I always like to build in time for, you know, unexpected delays, right? So I'm, you know, as a, I'm one of those cautious reporters. You've done this job too, where you don't want to, if I say, yeah, we expect to have a resolution, like I'll get aggregated and then there won't be one until Thursday of next week or something, right? But, you know, look, it all lines up. So everybody's negotiating, and they're kind of negotiating on two or three fronts, which is, the NBA is talking to the Walt Disney Company, of which is the label that also pays me as an ESPN employee, right? So I have to acknowledge that.
Sure.
About having the about resuming the season in Orlando, and then they're also concurrently negotiating with the players, Gary. And on Friday they will have a Board of Governors meeting, and so the expectation is that, you know, Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBA Players Association. She's calling every team this week. She's doing, you know, four or five Zoom calls every day with teams and players, just sort of getting everybody on the same page and getting all the feedback of where things stand and how they're going to do things. And then, you know, the GMs will talk on Thursday. The owners will talk on Friday. Everybody's kind of heading in the same direction. So, I mean, I think we could have some clarity by the end of this week, maybe early next week. I don't know if we're going to have like a formal announcement or anything. I think it could be still some details that get worked out, but we'll have some clarity. I think that's really good for everybody. I mean, Michelle Roberts, you know, when I talked to her yesterday, she just said, look, my guys need to know. They need some clarity. The uncertainty is just killing everyone. It's 2.5 months of what if and what are we doing? And you know, we don't really have great answers. And so I think everybody feels good at least about things coming into focus. Now, there'll be a whole nother issue of how do you actually make it happen, right? And there will be some setbacks, and there will be some bumps in the road that could set people back and change the timeline and decisions and everything. But at least they're starting to put a plan in place.
You and your colleagues at ESPN are reporting that, I think Woj wrote this specifically, that like Adam Silver knows whatever he does is not going to be popular with everybody.
Right.
If you just take if you take the top eight from the East and the West, you know, you're leaving Zion out. Damian Lillard is upset. If you, you know, try to bring all 30 there, that's not going to make some people happy. Does Damian Lillard, let's stop here for a second, coming out today and saying, if you tell me I got to go to Florida and training camp and play regular season games, but I have no realistic path to the playoffs, I'm just not going to play. I'll be on the bench. Is that something that resonates with the NBA decision makers?
Yeah, and you know, that there's a lot of that going around right now. And like, okay, so I don't know, how do you make decisions? Are you like one of those people who, like, you go to the store, you see a pair of pants, and you're like, I want those pants, buy it, walk out? Is that how you do it?
I don't do much in the store stuff, but I am of the mindset.
Okay.
I'm lucky enough to sort of be able to live this way. Like, when I see something I want, I just get it. Like, the idea, my wife is more of a, ooh, that would make a nice Christmas present. I'm like, that would make a nice, it'll be here by Thursday present.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm more like, I go to the store, I try on one pair of pants. I'm like, yeah, I like these. But hold on, let me try on these 12 other pairs. And let me see, I make sure that I really like this first one a lot. And I'll try on the 12 other and pairs, and in some, most of the time, I would say 95% of the time, I end up just buying the first pair anyway.
Gotcha.
But I wanted to have tried on the other 12, you know, just so that I went through the process, right? I wanted to like feel what those look like and see that, and then I'll either feel better about my purchase, or sometimes I'll be like, oh no, those are stupid, let me get these. Okay. I think when you get down to it and you actually get to that moment where you're leaving the dressing room and being like, this is what I'm getting, there's a little, you know, trepidation, right? Like, okay, we've been talking about this for months. There's theoreticals. There's how does this feel? But now we're actually at that moment where we have to say, okay, this is what we're doing. And so let's say you're a team at the bottom of the standing, right? And, you know, initially I had heard that a lot of the teams at the bottom of the standings were like, yeah, whatever. I mean, Steve Kerr was, you know, quoted as saying, like, we're kind of feels like the season's over and what are we doing? You know, I think there's a lot of other teams that don't have a lot to play for that would just rather, you know, let's just wait a few more months and just restart next season. around training camp. Well, I think some of that softened in the last couple of days, because the more you think about it, the more, you know, if the season moves on without you, the more you think, I want to play or I don't want to play. Let's say you're Damian Lillard. You get down to it, and it's like, wait, we're going to go through all this, like 2 months of working out and camp and traveling to Orlando to basically play like 5 regular season games and not really have a chance to make the playoffs. Like, why would we do all that? Be away from our family. The Dame has a young son, his family, everybody that you bring into the bubble, every team is another exposure. So as we get close to this decision point, people are having their last minute, you know, gut checks and what that really means. I mean, I had somebody, one of the teams yesterday said, you know what, it'll kind of be like an NFL mini camp. You know, even though there's nothing for us to play for, it'll be good for us to go, because otherwise, you know, we face a potential where you go from March to December without having games if next season is delayed.
Talking to Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. One scenario that is reportedly under consideration is the group stage format, where you take the best 20 records in the NBA and you break them into tiers, and then you have 4 groups with 5 teams, round robin. Everybody plays 8 games, and the top 2 teams from each group advance to what would be the second round of the playoffs. You suddenly replace what is traditionally the first round of the playoffs with more meaningful, more exciting, and just more in number games. You also rope in Zion Williamson's Pelicans, Damian Lillard's Blazers. I like that one, because you know, I've heard about the play-in tournament for the 8th spot, which just seems unfair to make the Magic and Grizzlies fight for their spots if the Rockets and Celtics don't have to. So the group stage thing makes sense to me. How realistic do you think it is that the NBA would actually do something that different than what they've usually done?
Yeah, I mean, I know people are talking about this, but I just can't wrap my head around this. Like, why are we, you know, here's the 2 main concerns that players have, okay? They don't, you know, it takes a while for a team to get its groove, right? Like, nobody comes out of the gate on day 1 at the beginning of a season playing with any level of cohesiveness, right? So now you're talking about teams that have had what'll essentially be 4 months off, okay? The last game was in March. We're probably looking at late July, early August before we have another game. And then to jump into meaningful games, like even if we're only playing 5 regular season games, like those, if you're talking about the groups or group stages, things like that, that feels kind of like the playoffs. And that's what I think a lot of players want to avoid. Right? You don't want to have your first games out of the chute after 4 months off have real implications. Right. And so, like, I know they're trying to balance this idea of just give everybody some time to knock the rust off, right, and get back into form before the playoffs start. And I think there's an injury issue with that too. Like, you know, nobody wants them to go through 4 weeks of training camp and then see several serious injuries in the first round of the playoffs that knock out stars and fundamentally change the rest of the playoffs, right? So they want to give them like a week or so, maybe even 2 weeks of, you know, regular season games to ramp up. Well, how do you make those regular season games mean something, right? You know, otherwise a team like the Warriors, like, I mean, there's no way they would want to play Steph Curry or Draymond Green, right? Like, why would the Wizards play Bradley Beal, right? That why would any team that has veterans, you know, that could potentially get hurt, or even a free agent who's had a great year, why would he risk coming back right now and getting injured or diminishing his value in these, like, just extra games? So there's things that they're working through. Now, I've said to people, why don't you just have scrimmages between the 16 playoff teams? Right. Why don't you have exhibition games? Like, that would shake some of the rust off, and it would also make it so there's less people in the bubble. But every time I bring that up, I kind of get corrected in saying, look, we don't want to just have scrimmages. Like, if they're going to have games, we should have meaningful games. So I don't know where they'll end up on that. But I do know that as Woj and Zach wrote this morning, I do think there is a lot of, like, we're getting close to decision time and everybody's doing a final gut check.
I'm wrapping up here with Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, no matter how we finish this season, obviously it's going to finish late. Mm-hmm. Do you think that ensures that the 2020-21 season starts later than it normally was? Is there any chance it starts on time?
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, do you?
No.
Like, okay, the only way I could see it is if we don't get the resumption of this season. Like, let's say they try, but there's too many outbreaks or there's too many cases and they just can't control that. They can't get the testing in order. Or there's just one team to the next just keeps getting, first one team gets four guys and another team gets four guys. I mean, and they finally just have to call it and say, like, we're just not going to be able to do this. Okay, I guess I could see teams starting the next season in September, October, if they're not able to get this season in. But I also just kind of feel like one of the biggest issues is everyone I talk to feels like they're trying to buy time for either treatment, vaccines, or testing to get up to a level where there's a chance that fans could be present for next season, at some point next season. So the longer you delay the 2021 season or the 2020-21 season, like next season, so if you start in December, that means you're going to be playing through August or September of the following year too, right? And that gives you a much better chance of having a vaccine, treatment, or better testing to where you could have some fans and recoup some of that revenue.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's Ramona Shelburne from ESPN on Twitter at Ramona Shelburne. Thanks so much, buddy. I'll see you soon, I hope.
For you, anytime.
You're the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye-bye. That's Ramona Shelburne from ESPN. When I endorsed the group stage plan, again, you can read about it at The Ringer earlier today from Kevin O'Connor, it's with the hope that exhibition games can serve as games good enough to help you, as Ramona put it, to ramp up for meaningful games. I do think it's not absurd, but less than ideal to tell the Lakers, you've been off for 3 months. Now you're playing, the Grizzlies tomorrow and the game counts. Like, yeah. It's a playoff game that matters. So in my perfect world, I think what I would like is go to Orlando, 2 or 3 weeks training camp, 2 or 3 exhibitions, with the understanding that, hey guys, these aren't normal exhibitions. Like, you,
it's preseason.
Like you need to play. Not even preseason, because in the preseason, like, you can say, okay, we're playing exhibitions, but do you need to be ramped up for game one? I mean, I guess LeBron wants to if he's on national television,
right.
It's still just 1 of 82. Whereas if you're going into a group stage, it's 1 of 8 that matter. If you're heading into the regular season, game one is 1 of 82 that matters. If you're going into a group stage, it's 1 of 8 that matters. If you're going into the first round of playoffs, it's 1 of 7 that matters. So I can understand why you wouldn't want to just go straight from not playing for 3 months, training camp for 2 weeks. Now you're in a real game for the first time in a long time, and it's important. So I would hope you could create exhibition games, but then also create the mindset, guys, treat these like regular season games. Mm-hmm. These matter to both of you. You need to play hard. You need these to help you. They're not just things to get through. You tell us you need real games to get ready for the, quote, postseason. Well, then it's up to you to treat them like real games. We'll conduct them like real games. We'll officiate them like real games. You treat them like real games. And if you can get that mindset, they're going to treat these 2 or 3 or 4 exhibitions like real games, then how is that any different than just playing 3 or 4 regular season games?
And I bet in this scenario, I bet the ratings would be really good for just exhibition games. You know, obviously, if you don't do overkill and do weeks of it, but for like a week of exhibition games, I think people would tune in like crazy for that.
Yeah. But
just the same.
And then the group stage, again, I can't stress enough how awesome it would be.
I like it.
Like, instead of, like, if the playoffs were starting tonight and we had Bucks Magic, like, would you, like, I mean, we turn it on because it's the NBA playoffs, but, like, would you care? Like, would you think there's any doubt how that's going to go? No.
No.
Like, if you had Raptors-Nets, who wants to watch the Raptors and Nets play 5 times?
No.
Nobody. Like, who wants to watch, let's go to the West, Clippers-Mavericks would be good because you get Kawhi and you get Luka. I mean, Lakers-Grizzlies would be fun for us, but is it fun for anybody else? Maybe if you get some Ja highlights, it could be. I mean, do you want to watch the Jazz and Thunder play 6 games against each other?
No.
I don't care. So if you go to this group stage situation, you will get those less attractive matchups. But you only get them twice. Like, if you say, God, I couldn't care less about watching the Lakers and Magic. Well, you only get the Lakers Magic twice. And in addition to that, you get the Lakers Heat twice, Lakers Rockets twice, Lakers Pelicans twice, based on the groups that Kevin O'Connor put together at the Ringer. It's just better. I understand it's radical. I understand it's unlike anything the NBA has ever done, and I understand it would be difficult at first for some NBA fans to grasp exactly what's going on. But here's what I promise you. I promise you. Remember when we were talking about game day coming to Memphis?
Yeah.
And there was a debate for a couple days about where they should do it, Tiger Lane or Beale Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I was adamant. It's got to be on Beale Street. It will be awesome. And people would call in and they'd say, no, it's got to be on Tiger Lane. You can't do it on Beale Street. And I said, just listen, I don't want to argue about it anymore. Just trust me. Once you see it on Beale Street, you will say this. You will say these words. I am so glad we did it this way. It is so obviously better than it would have been at Tiger Lane. I promise you, even if you wanted it at Tiger Lane, you will have to acknowledge once you see it at Beale Street that it was better at Beale Street. Even if you didn't endorse it, you'll have to acknowledge you're glad you got it. I would say the exact same thing about this. Even if you think it's too radical, too crazy, too confusing, once you got it, you 100% across the board, unless you're a Bucks fan and you think it's working against you. If you're just a basketball fan, somebody who just likes the NBA, once you got it, you would lock in and you would love it. I promise you. What you would be doing is replacing the traditional first round of the playoffs with a group stage. And I promise you, if we got it, even if you were against it, you would lock in and you'd love it. I talked to Jeff Calkins more about it a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Major League Baseball owners reportedly made a proposal to the players today, backed off the 50-50 revenue share, but did require additional pay cuts to the already prorated salaries that the players have agreed to. This reportedly did not go over well with the players, so that's another bad day for Major League Baseball. We'll get into that next.
Don't miss the Gary Parrish Show.
Please make Brendan Haywood the big interview. The
documentary took me inside Michael Jordan, something I'd never seen, even though I played with him for 2 years.
What was it like playing with him for 2 years? Was it fun? Was it hard? Was it a combination of things?
It's an emotional roller coaster.
The Gary Parrish Show, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis is listening now more than ever to 92.9 on AM, on FM, on the radio.com app, and on smart speakers by saying play 92.9 ESPN.
Radio.com is helping you stay connected, no matter how you're social distancing.
Keep tabs on the latest COVID-19 news affecting your family with local and national news stations, including CNN, Fox News, and more.
Need a break from it all? Radio.com has hundreds of music, sports, and talk stations to take your mind off of current news.
Love podcasts? Radio.com has thousands. True crime, documentaries, and the highly acclaimed podcast from Brené Brown, Unlocking Us.
Listen on the Radio.com app, on Radio.com, or smart speakers and connected devices.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
At Charmin, we understand the last thing you should have to worry about right now is having enough toilet paper. Please know we're working around the clock to get you more Charmin as quickly as possible. We're also donating $2 million to direct relief to serve our communities. In the meantime, from our Charmin family to yours, please stay safe.
Right now, the world feels different as we stay apart to make sure we can safely come back together. Till then, there is something you can do without even leaving your home. Respond to the 2020 census online, by phone, or by mail. The census impacts where hundreds of billions in federal funding will go for things like hospitals, schools, and roads. Now is the time to go to 2020census.gov. It's as easy as it is important. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Introducing four-seater models to the Talon side-by-side family. The Honda Talon 1000X4 and the X4 Box Slide Valve. They start with a powerful parallel twin engine, providing rapid acceleration, combined with Honda's automatic DCT for a new standard of performance and fun. The Fox Live Valve model has extras, including an upgraded suspension system. For details, visit DeSoto Honda Powerhouse, 5656 Goodman Road, Olive Branch, Mississippi, and see why life is better side-by-side. For your safety, read the owner's manual. Wear a helmet and eye protection. Always wear your seatbelt and keep the side nets and doors closed. Honda side-by-sides are for drivers 16 years and older.
Stay home. Stay calm. Stay connected. Stay active. Take deep breaths. Call your friends. Dance to a jam. We're all keeping our distance, but we are in this together. For more information on how to take care of yourself and others, go to imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We'll get back to the NBA conversation with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, I have four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Major League Baseball has proposed cutting the salaries of the highest paid players in baseball, with the lowest paid players taking lesser cuts from their full prorated shares in its first economic proposal to the MLB Players Association. Sources familiar with the situation told ESPN. That is the first graft from a story posted this afternoon by Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers. The long and short of it is this. As you know, in the NBA right now, they're not fighting over money. The NBA had so few regular season games left that the salaries are just locked in. Whatever John Morant was going to make into 2019-20 season, he's going to make that, regardless of how many games he plays. Same thing for Jaren Jackson Jr., LeBron James, everybody else in the league. They're not fighting over money. Major League Baseball, they're fighting over money because they're trying to start a season that has not started yet. Now, what the players initially agreed to was prorated salaries. They said, listen, we'll get paid for the work we do. You know, if we play 162, we want our full salaries. If we pay half of that, we'll accept half of that. But the owners came back and said, we agreed to that based on the idea that we would have fans in the stands for 81 games, if you will. Let's just make the numbers easy. Half of 162, 81. So the owners came back and said, we agreed to prorated salaries when we thought fans would be in the stands. Now it's quite clear fans are not going to be in the stands. And we cannot afford to pay your entire prorated salary. It's a money loser for us. So we got to come back to the table. The players said, okay, well, what you got? They said, well, why don't we just do 50-50 share revenue? Like, we'll pay you, based on your salary, 50% of revenue. And the players, I think rightfully so, were like, get out of our face. We're not revenue sharing. That is a salary cap. Plus, we can't trust that you'll be honest about what the revenue actually is. So we don't want any part of that. We don't share in revenue when times are good. We don't think we should share in revenue when times are bad. And so then we were just sort of silent for a week, but the owners earlier today presented another proposal. They said, okay, forget the revenue sharing, but we are going to need you to take additional cuts. Again, it's a money loser for us if we try to pay your full prorated salaries. So the proposal, it seems to be, is that the highest paid players will take the biggest pay cuts, with the lower paid players taking less percentage of a pay cut. And the number that's being reported is 30% for the highest paid players. So I'll try to make this as simple as possible. You're a baseball player. You're scheduled to make $20 million this year. You've already agreed to a prorated salary. So you're basically cutting it in half right there. So now you're down to 10. And now you got to take a 30% pay cut off of that 10. So now you're down to $7 million. Somebody who was scheduled to make $20 million this year will now be playing half the amount of games for less than half of the amount of money, for $7 million. and you can do this all the way down the line, somebody who makes $10 million, already cut it down to five, and then you take 30% off that. So the players have reportedly just bristled at that. Like, we're not taking that much more off. I think they know they got to give some of it back even more, but they're scoffing at the 30% number for the highest paid players. And I guess that's what you do in a negotiation, but this is getting really tricky because all of the reports suggest if they're really going to try to start first week of July, they need to figure this out by the end of this week. And they're still, they don't seem to be anywhere close on a deal from a money perspective. Not to mention there's still stuff to work out from a health perspective, like how we're going to do this, testing, testing, testing. But at some point, the players are going to have to take, just going to have to take a loss on this.
Yep.
It's going to be a one-year bad deal. But, like, what are your options really? To not play, to get nothing? Like, I understand if you thought you were going to get to, if you thought you were going to play baseball for $20 million this year, I understand why you wouldn't want to play it for seven. But would you want to, is playing it for seven better than not playing it for nothing? Hard for me to say. I'm not in their shoes. But I'd like to think, ultimately, I'd be pissed off, but do it. I'd say this is not fair, but what are your options? You're not going to win a game of chicken with billionaires.
Nope.
They got way more money than you. No matter what happens, you play this season or don't play this season, the billionaires ain't going to miss a mortgage payment.
No, they're going to be fine.
There's going to be plenty of baseball players who cannot live. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to think people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, like, could get in a place where they can't afford to miss a year of work. But I don't know the percentage on it. I promise you there's a not insignificant percentage of Major League Baseball players who cannot afford to go a year without work because they're living a lifestyle that requires them to get these paychecks. Like, if you make, let's just say something like $2 million a year, you're probably living like somebody who makes $2 million a year. And when you suddenly don't have that $2 million, that hits you. You know, it's one thing if you got a $175 million contract and you made $30 million last year, you'll be fine. But if you were on a one-year $2 million contract and now you're not going to get that $2 million, that probably puts you in a bad place. So ultimately, the baseball players, as bad, it's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying, what are your options? At some point in life, you get to a place where you're picking between two bad things, sometimes two unfair things. And that's what they're doing right now. And so that $20 million a year baseball player is going to have to, at some point, I would assume, come to grips with, this is not fair. This is not my fault. We should not be asked to do this, but I'm going to play 81 games for $7 million or zero games for $0. Let me go get my glove. Ultimately, I would assume that's the way this goes down. And maybe the numbers come down a little bit more. Maybe the owner said, we want you to take 30%, and then the players come back and say, we'll take 20%. And then they say, hey, let's make it 24, and then boom, they're done, right? It'll be a negotiation. But the idea that the players are just going to get their prorated salaries, period, end of story, that's not going to happen because according to the reporting, some of the owners, if they have to pay full prorated salaries, they will lose money by having a season. So they're in a very good position to just say, we're not going to reach an agreement that cost us to lose. That's a money loser before we even start. That's not how I became a billionaire. So if you guys don't want to give in, I'm not going to lose money, but you will lose money. How about that? I won't have a season. I won't lose money, but you will lose the money that you were going to make. Who's motivated there to get a deal done? The players, not necessarily the owners. I hope for the good of baseball, they all understand that they need to get this done. But undeniably, the players have more motivation, more need to get this done than the owners. And ultimately, again, as unfair as it is, they're just gonna have to accept that.
Story number two.
A fun golf event on Sunday afternoon. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Did you watch much of it?
I did not.
It was good. It was fun.
Like, was it?
It was fun in the sense that, you know, you had four all-time great athletes. Two of them not golfers, and that was pretty clear, especially with Tom Brady early on. But four all-time great athletes with different personalities you know, playing eight, you know, just talking on live television for 5 hours, except for Tiger Woods, who just totally locked in last hour and barely said a word, if he said a word at all. He was just out there trying to win. He just wanted to win. It's a charity event. He still wanted to win. But Peyton's great. They had Charles Barkley providing color analysts. Justin Thomas was also on the broadcast. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say I sat there and was attentive to every second. I laid down. I watched it. I fell asleep in, you know, traditional golf television viewing ways. Woke up. It was still on. But it was fun. And I don't really have anything that unique to say about it that hasn't already been said or written. Like, it was fun watching Tom Brady not be good and then Tom Brady hole out from the fairway. And it was fun watching it get super competitive down the stretch. Like, both teams really wanted to win, even though, you know, the goal was to raise $20 million, which they did. So in terms of live sports, I thought it was a great idea, and it was executed incredibly well.
Were any of them interested? Like, did any of those guys, did you come away thinking, I didn't know that about him or anything like that?
They all basically fell straight into what you assume they are. Like, Peyton was genuinely funny.
Yeah.
But he is genuinely funny. Like, every time he's talking, that's why he can, you know, be on Saturday Night Live or
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.